would all open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 5. And we'll read verses 1 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we humbly, Lord, approach thee tonight, knowing that this is the night which we partake of the communion, which is the representation of the breaking of the body of your Son and the shedding of his blood. And Father, we come because we have received the faith of the Son of God, knowing that it was his faith, his revelation, that brought him to the place where he would do so for us. And knowing, as Paul says, that we have access by his faith, the faith of your Son, into this grace wherein we now stand. So, Father, we pray that you would be with us tonight. Help each and every one of us to clear our conscience before you as we would prepare to eat from the table of the Lord. And now, Father, we pray that you be with us tonight as we would speak thy word, knowing that, as your prophet so many times said, any man can open the book, any man can read it, but it takes you, Lord, to give us the revelation of it. We know that even the devil believes in one God, but he trembles. But he doesn't have the revelation of that word. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that word, your word, the shout, believing it'll make us ready for the voice of the resurrection. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Tonight I would like to take a short subject from Romans chapter 5. And as you know, we spoke about the oncoming squeeze last Sunday. And we read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 for our text. I was hoping to be able to bring a little bit lighter subject tonight and maybe just talk to you about our trip to Norway. But the Lord opened up some scripture for me tonight that I'd like to share with you. And I feel that it would take more preeminence knowing that that we are entering a squeeze. I believe that some of us have already feeling our own squeezes. I think if you just look in the mirror of God's Word, you'll be squeezed to the point of maybe wanting to throw your hands up. And you know, that's the only place you can get to that's right, because God wants us to surrender, to let go, and to let God. So in beginning at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, this is number 28 in our series on the book of Romans, we'll subtitle this, The Grace Wherein We Now Stand. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our justification, therefore, comes to us by faith, which we know is revelation. And this revelation brings us peace with God. Now, we examine this peace with God in contrast to the seemingly lack of peace that we have in this world. In Matthew 10 and verse 34, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send you peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. And in John 6 and verse 33, Jesus also said, in me you have peace, you may have peace, but in the world ye will have tribulation. Therefore, it is while we are in Him, that is, in His Word, that we may have peace. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as I was saying, as long as we are in Him or His Word, we shall find this peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, we examined this peace with God while we are in the midst of many variegated trials last week. But although the trials sometimes come in a way which we cannot see the end or the outcome of the trial, yet we have been given a confidence that others do not have to go through their trials. Because we have confidence in a God who is faithful. And He promised us that all things shall work together for our good, for those who love God and those who are the elect according to His purpose. Therefore, Paul tells us in Romans 5 and verse 3 that we should glory in our tribulations. Therefore, we can see that in our tribulations, which come from divine love, they have a purpose behind them. And that purpose is to work only that which is good for us. All things shall work together for the good. Even though for a time it may not look like it's working for our good. But we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, and if you turn with me this evening, and we'll read verse 5 through verse 7. You who are kept by the power of God through faith or revelation unto salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold testings. But the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. It might be found unto praise, honor, and glory, notice, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you may see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Notice he tells us that there is to be a trial of our faith. And the trial of your faith will result in praise, honor, and glory. And we see a progression here. Praise is the fruit offering of your lips, giving thanks to His name. Honor is the word hupotasso, which means to take the lower seat. In other words, when you begin to speak the Word, then you begin to live the Word. And as you begin to give Him preeminence through your speech, then through your actions you begin to give Him preeminence as well. Jesus said that he that takes the lower seat, I will call him up. Like Brother Bram so many times, he said the young man, he came up. They said if he would have gone up the way he came down, he would have gone down the way he came up. It will bring you praise, honor, and then glory, capping off. Brother Brown said the last of it is the intelligence, having the very mind of God. Now, the tribulation which comes from divine love will work only that which is good for us. I say the tribulation which comes because of divine love, not the great tribulation, that's from the wrath of God. But the squeeze that the bride is to go through, the trial of your faith, comes because of the divine love of God. Now, Brother Brown taught us that in Stature of a Perfect Man, he said that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive everything in you that you'll have need of. Yet we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness or godlikeness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, and abound, They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it would appear by reading what Peter says that you start out with faith, and then after you've got faith, you add these things one at a time. But that's not what he's saying. Because he says, if these things be in you and abound. So we're talking about not only them being in you, but them abounding in you. In other words, not adding as if you didn't have it, but like he says, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of Christ. So we're not talking about these things as though you don't have them and then adding one at a time, but we're talking about these things in you and those things coming forth from you, coming out of you, manifesting themselves as the attributes of God, displaying themselves in human flesh. Because when you receive a seed, whether it be a tree, whether it be a blade of grass or a grass seed, that seed has everything in it that it'll ever need to bring forth manifestation of life. So we're looking then at manifestation of life. That's what we're looking at. Now, he says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Through tribulation, our faith is put to the test and purified to the highest degree. Whatever tribulation finds in us, it develops more fully. And therefore, the purpose of the trials of tribulation is to expose where we are, where we're carnal, where we're weak, where we're blind, where we're wicked, where we're haughty, and so forth. Now, that's a person who has not been born again. Because without this understanding of how Christ works in us, His will, tribulation will only make us more carnal, more weak, more blind, more wicked, more haughty. But on the other hand, if we are spiritual and have been born again, then our tribulations will make us strong. It'll make us wise, pious, gentle, and humble. And we will become more spiritual, more powerful, more wise, more pious, more gentle, and more humble. As we see in Psalm chapter 4 and verse 1, where David said, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now Paul continues by saying, By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we now stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let me just back up a little bit. Just so that you all may understand what I'm talking about. In Psalms, David said, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You ever find a person who has a temper? When they get into a fix, the temper gets bigger. It doesn't get worse. It doesn't get lesser. It manifests itself. And so the guy many times, we find many people, and what's taught in the schools today is a lack of responsibility. People always want to blame their problems on someone else. They didn't pass the test, so they can blame it on their parents. They fail, so they blame it on someone else. So the schools decided, well, you know, we've got to really push self-esteem. And so for the last 10 years, they've pushed self-esteem like no other thing. And the kids are so full of self-esteem today that they're so proud that when they fail, they blame it on someone else. And so things haven't changed any. Things haven't changed a bit. But this is what we're looking at. The trial is puts you to the test. To show what is in you, to expose what is in you, so that it might bring out those things which are in you. Now, the thing of it is, when you're under the trial and you find your temper is raging, then you can look at yourself and say, oh, I have a temper. I tend to blame my temper on my wife because maybe she placed a trial upon me, but I blame what I say to my wife on the temper that's already in me. You see what I'm talking about? Therefore, it's not her fault that I do what I do, Now, I'm not saying this between my wife and I. I'm just giving an illustration. But it would be my fault. Therefore, the trial is meant for me, not for her, for me. To expose in me my weakness, but not my weakness only, but since I've been born again, to expose, to bring forth repentance and a correction, and then more piousness, more piety, more wisdom, more gentleness, more humility. Paul continued by saying, by whom also we have access. Not only do we have an opportunity for the trials to work within us that which is good, only that which is good, but we also have access into this grace wherein we now stand. By faith, we have access into this grace, wherein we now stand. Therefore, we can rejoice in an earnest expectation of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we see here that distress or trials are meant to produce in us or enlarge in us whatever is already there by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, notice he says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We glory in tribulations. Why? Because they work a patience and patience experience because the love of God has been shed abroad to us by the Holy Ghost. That's why we can glory. Now, if you haven't been born again, you don't glory in tribulations because it brings out the worst in you. But when you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then the tribulation or the trial, or let's call it the squeeze, will bring out, manifest, show to the world that you have been born again. And that the Spirit of God liveth in you. So we see here that the distress, the trials, are meant to produce in us or to enlarge in us what is already there by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the fact is that when the squeeze comes fully upon us, it will only bring forth in us those attributes which God has already placed in us by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if the whole creation groaneth, and you're part of that creation of God, then you too are longing for the manifestation of this, of sonship in you. Now, tonight, what I want to look at is this thought that Paul's telling us. This thought concerning our access into grace, or this grace, and how it comes by this faith into this grace. And notice also that he tells us that the grace wherein we have access is the grace wherein we now are already standing. This is the key thought here, because he is telling us that it is not another grace that we will have access into. But the grace we now stand in is given access by this revelation. In other words, you already have this grace, but you didn't know it. Now let me break this down for a moment, that we might have a better understanding about this. Paul says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand. Now this cannot be read alone, or we will not fully understand what he's saying. So let's read all of verse 1 together. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by this same Lord Jesus Christ, we also have access by revelation into this grace wherein we now stand. In other words, the very fact that he came and did it and manifested to the world, and by the same revelation, we are able also to come, do, and manifest, because we're standing in the same revelation, the same faith. So we are dealing with the grace wherein we are now standing. And this is important because it is by Jesus Christ's faith, by His faith, and not our own, that we're to live by. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I am now living in the flesh, I live by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God, who first loved me and gave Himself for me. Therefore I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now Paul is telling us that it is important for us to live the life without doing so by the... Excuse me. Paul is telling us that it is impossible for us to live the life without doing so by the same revelation that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you try to live it on your own, you're not going to do it. Therefore, there's got to be a life living it for you, through you. Now, who created all things? Come on. Huh? God. How did he do it? Through Christ. Right? Doesn't the scripture tell us that by him and through him, all things were made and all things are maintained? Therefore, the only thing maintaining you is the same one who made you. The only thing maintaining the world today is the one who created the world. So when that one leaves the world, this dimension, everything goes into tribulation. Everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. You know this Y2K problem that they're having is it's actually worse than people are letting off. They're not talking a whole lot about it, but the amount of code that has to be done is in the multi tens of millions with some of these computers. I'm going to be getting a film. Don Hoffman's sending me a film. We'll watch it together. When I get it, I'll let you know. And it's on the Y2K problem. I think it's interesting because in the scripture, God said he'd allow the wisdom of man be foolish. And he would bring the wisdom of man to naught. What is the word? What is naught? What is naught? In numbers, it's zero. Add or double. You got two double zeros, and because the two zeros, naught, man and everything he's built will collapse. Of course, at that time, the governments will shut everything down. There won't be any electricity. No electricity, there won't be any water. There won't be any food. They'll have to have places where you go to get your food. And the scripture says unless you take the mark, you won't be able to get food. And you see what it's all coming to. The wisdom of man will be brought to nothing. Zero. I think it's tremendous. And you know, this is not like looking at 1977 when everybody kind of guessed on that. There's many, many things Brother Banner said about the year 2000. The year 2000. Now, I'm not saying in 2000 he's coming. He might come sooner. I believe he's coming very soon. I believe it'll be before the year 2000. I really do. With all my heart, I'm looking for him. Like Brother Banner said, I'm looking for him tomorrow. You realize that the computers are supposed to start going down in April? Do you realize a lot of these big companies thought they had it licked? They thought they had it all under control. Big company out in Oklahoma. They've written almost 50 million, or they've examined almost 50 million lines of code. They've been doing this for about 9 years. They've been working on it. They thought they had it all done. They ran a test, and the system failed. Why? In their smokestack, there was a small little chip for some type of a smoke sensor. It shut the rest of the computer down. You realize, brother, sister, that you won't be able to get gas. You won't be able to get water. You won't be able to get food. You talk about a tribulation. When in man's history has man been so dependent upon man? Think about it. The wisdom of man brought to zeros. Two zeros. Not. And it's coming down. Now, what we're looking at then is a purpose. What is the purpose for the squeeze? What is the purpose, Brother Bram also called it the press? There's only one place where Brother Bram actually mentioned the squeeze, although he talked about being squeezed in different places. But there's only one place where he talked about the squeeze. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But Paul here says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ living in me. And the life which I am now living in the flesh, I live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, who first loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Paul is telling us that it is impossible for us to live the life without doing so by the same revelation that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had. If you think that you can live a life of victory apart from the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you're sadly mistaken. But when we come to the place where God has given unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself, then we have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is in this revelation, or by this faith, we now stand. Because we could not even stand without it. We would be up and down and up and down and backsliding 1,000 times daily without knowing this great revelation. Look, it's even difficult enough knowing this revelation. Now, the thing of it is that we all seem to think that there has got to be some greater thing happen. Some greater word to come that will give us a rapturing faith. But Brother Brown told us it's already... He told us that we have everything that we have need of. And this is the shout that we've already heard that has come. And we have it. So don't be looking down the road, but look at what we already have in our midst. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Brother Bram has told us this in many stories that he told. He told us of the slave who acted like a son of a king, because he knew that he was the son of a king. He told us how to overcome. That our overcoming is by knowing who you are. You're the son of a king. And it is by knowing who you are, just as Jesus knew who he was. In John 17 and verse 5, Jesus said, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, he said, O Father, glorify yourself in me with the same glory that we shared together before this world even was framed. Now, what is the glory? What's the glory? What's the word? Doxa. What is the word? It's doxa. Okay, the Greek word. And what does the word doxa mean? Assessment, that's one. Opinion and judgment.
which is the mind.
All right? Now, then in essence, Jesus here is saying, Oh Father, place your own thoughts in me and express your own opinion, your assessment, and your judgment to the world through me, even in the same manner that you did so in me and through me when we framed the world together. You see? Now, then if we were to have the same mind, the same revelation, then it is because we have come into the same relationship. If you turn with me to chapter 3, and notice reading verse 1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And God wouldn't call you a son unless you were. He's not a man that he could lie. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it didn't know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. And every man that has this hope, this earnest expectation in him, begins to purify himself, even as he is pure. Therefore, brother, sister, you cannot purify until the relationship of Father and Son takes place with you. See? Oh, you can try, but you fail miserably. You see, Paul said, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. His revelation. And what was his revelation? There's one God, and he had a son. Then what is your revelation? There's one God, and he had a son and sons. Because I'm included. I'm living by that same revelation. Therefore, when I have victory, it's not me having victory, it's Christ living in me. It's the revelation coming to fruition. See? Okay, now. Notice that in the reading of the Scripture, you will find that the revelation of who he is comes to us. It says, Beloved, now are you sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what you shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when he shall phaneroo, when he shall manifest in his true identity, his true character, we shall be like him at this time, for we shall see him as he truly is. We will perceive and understand. We will begin to understand just who we are when we recognize who he is. And when we see who we are, we will begin to purify ourselves. Just like the slave. He lived a certain way because he knew who he was. You will begin to live, brother, sister, above and have victory over your flesh when you really, truly understand who you really are. And the way you treat your wife, because she's a daughter of God. The way you treat your children, because they are daughters of God, children of God, sons of God. And the way you treat your husband, because he is. And when we see who we really are, we begin to purify ourselves. How then can young man cleanse his way? Well, the Scripture says, by taking heed to the word. Psalm 119 and 9. How you wash, how you cleanse? By the washing of water, by the word. Ephesians 5 and 26. Then what will the trials be all about? They will bring us into a further understanding of who we are. And what effect will they bring? They will bring us into a further sanctification. And why is this further sanctification needed? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And that is not only so to see him, but to enter into his presence and be able to perceive him and really know him. In Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones who shall see God. Now, this does not mean to visibly see God, because no man has seen God. He's a spirit. But this word is a Greek word, optanomai, which means to look and to behold. And it comes from the primary root word, horao, which means to behold, to perceive, to see with the eyes and with the mind, to know and be acquainted with by experience. In other words, to experiential. An experiential relationship with him. That's that gnosko. See? Notice then we find in John chapter 1, verse 18, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath expressed him. Notice John chapter 6 and verse 46. We're looking at this word horao. 6 and 46. Let's go back to 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned, notice you not only have to hear but have to learn of the Father, comes unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. All right, let's go to chapter 8, verse 38. Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. And John chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So how do we see the Father? By seeing the expression of the Father, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how might you say this has to do with the squeeze? Well, this example. Excuse me. We'll need new cord. Let's examine the squeeze according to what Brother Branham has given to us. From looking away to Jesus, Brother Branham said, so now, I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for such a long time. Or at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer. The third pole has now been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now it's in existence. And I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. What's that? The third pole. So that it could identify its presence among you. See? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily become manifested in the fullness of his power. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for, and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. So how do we know how to stand? Just keep still and keep moving on. Keep pressing ahead. Now, for the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd things happen from me. Nothing sinful, I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here. I'm watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it so it can be used. But it's going to be used. It's going to be used. And everyone knows that for a certain, as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you'll think real closely, you who are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him who has wisdom, the third is properly identified. Now tomorrow morning we're going to get into what are those identifications of the third pole. What are they? Because he said it's going to be used. And we want to know when it's going to be used. And what is going to be used. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. So the third pole is here. It is so sacred that I mustn't not say much about it, as he told me in the beginning. He said, this say nothing of it. You remember that years ago. It speaks for itself. Now it can be used, but it also speaks. It speaks for itself, see? But I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, this will be the thing. What will be the thing? The third pole he's talking about. This will be the thing, to my opinion, and I don't say the Lord tells me this, But this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. I want it. I want this, what he's talking about. See? Now, I must lay quiet for just a little while. How long is a little while? Well, a half hour is about 22 and a half years. When the angel was silent, there was silence for 22 and a half years. So a little while, I don't know. Remember, Moses went away for 40 years. I must remain quiet for just a little while. Now remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see a change in my ministry right away, dropping back. Not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. But it's thoroughly identified. There's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before. Can you see how things, he had to wait for things to catch up? Look at what has happened in this administration, brother, sister. We have never lost so many rights, freedoms, as we have in this administration. Do you realize that President Clinton has already, in his two terms, given 254 executive orders? Changing legislation, which is against the Constitution. Do you realize the latest one was given over in England because he didn't want the press in this country to talk about it? And it wiped out the 10th Amendment, which gives power to the states, putting the federal government in charge over state issues. There's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome when it became papal Rome, see? That this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb came up out of the earth. The other beast came up out of the water, thickness and multitudes of people. But the Lamb came up where there was no people. The Lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spake like a dragon and exercised all the power that the power the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome, it always is. So don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. You realize, brother, sister, with these laws that they're passing, these hate laws, hate crimes they're passing, that if you preach against homosexuality, they can lock you up, they can throw the key away, shut your church down. Oh, there's a lot of things that I'm sure you're aware of. But, you know, if they were all laid out in a chart, showing you what we have lost, it'd be hard to fathom. But it's exciting because we know that we're getting that much closer to going home. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have fellowship card or identification. Now, on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of all that altogether. We're going to be cut out from it. That's exactly because you won't be able to do it. But it's tightening. And then when that time comes, and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch. What I am fixing to tell you in a few minutes, watch the third pole then. It'll be, I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. I may be taken before the time. I don't know. And that time may be this coming week, that the Holy Spirit will come with and bring Christ Jesus. He may come this next week. He may come yet tomorrow or tonight. I don't know when He will come. He doesn't tell us that. But I believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. Yet, at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he's here. See? Unless I am shot, killed, or something or other, some way killed. Just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. And I believe that. And I want to say this. I have never said it before, but according to the scripture, according to what he said 30 years ago, 33 years ago on the river down there in 1933 rather, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See, so it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. Now, Brother Van told us just to stand. Like the Apostle Paul did. He said, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of his power. See? Now, I must continue in evangelism just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly. See? That when something is going to be done. Then Brother Brown tells us how the third pole will come fully into use. He says, but it's going to be used. And everyone knows that, for as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, you are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly, has been properly identified. See? We know where it is. So the third pole is here. It is so sacred I mustn't say much about it, as he told me in the beginning. He said, this, say nothing of it. You remember that years ago. It speaks for itself, see? But I tried to explain the others and I made a mistake. This will be the one thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. Now, tomorrow morning, we'll look at these things, which Brother Branham said the third pole has already been identified. And tomorrow morning, we'll look at how the third pole has been identified. I'll just say this, the third pole has been identified 5 different times. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the attributes of what was expressed during those 5 times that it was identified. And we'll see what they cover. And we'll see how the third pole will come into use. I'll give you a hint with one. Remember when Brother Branham stopped the storm? What was that associated with? Nature. Right? Weather? The power of the word over weather? How many remember was last summer when the Lord changed the weather by simple request? You know, the other day at the funeral, beforehand, I came through rain to get to the funeral on Wednesday. And I knew it was coming because I'd come down the highway, I went through the rain, coming in, and when I came over to town, I told Don, I said, hey, it'll be here any minute. So we looked at each other and I said, why don't we pray? So we bowed our heads and prayed. I didn't ask the Lord to stop the rain, but I asked the Lord to allow it to go around us until we're done. Is that what we talked about, Don? You realize we stood out there for a half hour, 35 minutes? And the most wonderful breeze came up. It was coming, the breeze was kind of coming up the hill. And it was just like pushing things to the side. And just the very minute the last prayer was said, the rain came down. That just drenched. I mean, it came down terribly, terribly hard. Well, you realize, brother, sister, that third pole, he said, is here. It's the Word of God in supreme authority to give life, bring salvation, to bring forth creation, to control the elements. Well, we'll just stop right there because we don't want to give you a tomorrow's sermon. And you know, it's pretty exciting. Because when everything shuts down, like Brother Vail said, I don't give it but 6 months to a year, and the economy is going to go. We're trying to hold up Japan and it's not working. It's not working. Japan was the second most important economic power in the world. And they've fallen apart. Completely fallen apart. It's wonderful. The U.S. is propping up with money that it cannot back up. Just printing money. And that only lasts as long as the bonds last. And when people finally recognize that we're just printing paper, they'll stop buying the bonds. And when the bonds are stopped, everything falls apart. Look, they took our jobs, they sent them out overseas, they sent them to Mexico, they sent them everywhere else. What has happened in those nations? What has happened over in Indonesia? The people were used to living in poverty. They were used to fishing and just village-type life. But then they got jobs. They started making 75 cents an hour. That was big money there. In Poland, they make $300 a month. That's about 75 cents an hour. I don't know. It's not too much. 40 hours a week times 4.3. That's 180 hours. $300 is about $1.25 an hour. And that's for a person who has a 5-year chemical engineering degree. You know what the doctors make over there? $400 a month. Those people used to nothing. God broke communism. Why? To get the people used to getting a little bit of something. Why? So they could enter into Laodicea. Why? So the cup of the Amorites could be filled. The cup of iniquity could be filled. And then, what happens? The plug is pulled. When you're used to having and all of a sudden you don't have anymore, and you can't get anymore, and you moved out of your villages into the cities, now where do you go? Can't go back to the villages. What happens? Chaos. When chaos happens, what happens? Government control. And everything's set up. Oh, yeah. We're there. We're there. As I read the papers and as I see the headlines, it's all just as look, how many remember in the 70s in the message and it seemed like everything was just, you know, fine and dandy? In the last few years, things have been going at such a fast pace that you can hardly see what's next. What could be next? The cup of iniquity is full. It's overflowing. When you've got a president who talks about homosexual acts continuously to where his own bodyguards, his own Secret Service people have quit. They said, I can't take it anymore. Women. The man's talking about certain type of things continuously in their presence. Filthy, disgusting. It's a Sodom condition. and we're there. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we realize nations are breaking. Israel's awakened. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days are numbered, with horrors encumbered. Return, O dispersed, to your own. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. And Father, we see that the judgments are in the land. We've talked about the vaccines, we've talked about the plagues, we've talked about all these viruses and things, but we also see that the world is on fire. Fire is everywhere. The earth has been heated up because man has cut down all those trees. And with many, many millions of acres being burnt up, the oxygen is being depleted from the earth. And without oxygen, people's minds cannot think like they should. And we see people going crazy, doing crazy things, living crazy. And we realize we're at the end time. Your prophet said all the world will go mad. And we see it before us. Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to realize we are at the end time. This is not a game. This is not just playing church, but we realize we have but maybe 1 year left before the whole thing falls apart, if that. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to enter into your Shekinah. Help us to enter into your shout with a fervor which we have never had before. And help us come to the place of just letting go and letting God. Realizing that at the time of the first Exodus, the judgments of God were in the earth. The pillar of fire was on the scene. And while the judgments were coming down upon the Gentile nation and nations, yet there was your children in Goshen who were not harmed, but they were under the token. We see these things for examples, Father, and we know your word is true, and that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to living the life by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we are living. Yet it is not we that liveth, but Christ that is living in us. And the life that we now live, we live by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to your shout, knowing that as we're so caught up into the shout, so too when the voice of the resurrection takes place, we'll be in it as well. And when the trump sounds, we'll be caught out of here. For we commit ourselves to you, your word, and your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.